As we get started, I had one thing, but then something happened this morning. So we were showing this video, we were like testing the sound earlier, and someone walked in. And he's like, "Oh, that's like my favorite space shuttle launch video on YouTube." And so like I was like imagining someone sitting and like comparing your space launch videos on YouTube. I guess that's cool. If you live in Cape Canaveral or something like that, you can do that. The second thing though, when I was a kid, I was really fascinated by space. Like I was really I had like a big planet book that I checked out. We had library class at my school. Did anyone else have library class? Yeah, you had to do that. Okay. So I checked out the space book for like 2 months in a row until eventually our library teacher was like, "Other kids want to have this too, Wes," and they made me give it back. And I had to, that was like so painstaking to me because I was just really fascinated about this idea of like a world beyond my own. I had this like thing even as a kid where I was just really mystified. I can remember. My grandparents, they lived in this area outside Columbus, Ohio, where I grew up, about 20 minutes outside of Columbus. And it wasn't like it was totally out in the country, nothing around or anything, but it was far enough out where when you would go there at night, you could look up in the sky and you could see stars that you couldn't see at any other point. And I remember even as a kid thinking like, I have no idea what any of these things are, but I was just so fascinated about, man, that'd be so cool to like go up and see this world beyond my own. How amazing would that be? We, I think, in our own way as humans, kind of have the same urge that we want to experience in our lives to reach for a world that lies beyond our own. A couple weeks ago, I had a conversation with someone who's new to our church. She just attended a couple times, and we agreed that we were going to meet up for coffee. And she wanted to talk about something, and kind of the way she said the conversation, I kind of figured it was going to be like, you just need someone to kind of talk out loud to, and I'm just going to do a lot of, you just need kind of someone to be a sounding board for ideas or something like that. And we walked in, and for the first 10 minutes or so, it was about kind of that thing. But then it turned into one of those conversations where, have you ever had a conversation with someone where you talk, and as you're talking, you answer your own question in the process of like, what you're talking about? And so we kind of got to that point. And she shared this thing with me, which I feel like matches up to some degree with my experience, maybe with yours too, where she said, "You know what? My whole life, I grew up like around church and around Jesus and around like this whole kind of thing. Like it's not like there's some new thing I'm being introduced here. But I've grown up around this stuff. Like I even got baptized as a kid, and then I became an adult, and I just kind of tossed it aside, not because I was rejecting anything, but just I kind of drifted, like life happened, and I got in this relationship went south, and now I'm left kind of looking and trying to figure out how life works out. And I'm finding myself now as an adult where I'm drawn back to Jesus again, and I have no idea what to do or how to connect with him." Like she's basically, "I know like church is part of that, and that's really all I know. Like what should I do?" And I kind of feel like she just threw me, slow, like a hanging curve right over the center of the plate, because like that's my wheelhouse, right? That's what I love to talk about. Because essentially the question she was asking is, how do I connect to God? How do I take a next step to connect to God? And I think that's a question in some way, shape, or form all of us ask at some point or another. Some of you here, you would say, "I've never really opted in as a follower of Jesus, but I'm curious about following Jesus. How does that work?" Some of you, following Jesus is a new thing. You maybe have taken some first steps along the way, and that's really exciting. That's really cool. But now you've kind of felt like it's petered out, and you're trying to figure out, so how do I really connect to God? I think this is a really healthy question for those of you who've been following Jesus for a really long time to ask, right? To think about, how am I connected to God? Right, to think about what are areas or places in my life where God might want to help me take a next step to follow him. One of the things that I sincerely believe is all of us in this room, we have a spiritual next step. No one here's arrived. You never get to the end of your destination or your journey with Jesus, okay? Like that we all have a next step to take our spiritual journey. And so over the next 5 weeks as a church, I want us to stop and think about this question of how do we connect to God? Because I sincerely believe this, is that you and I were created to experience and enjoy a connection to God. Like there's for all of us, I think at some point or another, it's oftentimes discover there's sort of this feeling of, I want my life to matter. I want my life to have significance. in our own way, kind of like me as a little kid looking up into space and thinking about the stars and the planets and all that stuff out there, that there's something in us that's kind of an echo of eternity. It's an echo for the divine. It's something that we want to reach out and be attached to purpose or meaning or something, or maybe even someone who lies beyond ourselves. And that's why I think this series is so important, is because, you know, we get a chance to talk about, so how do we discover that? Jesus, unsurprisingly, would talk about this idea of connecting to God a lot. And Jesus had language he commonly used when he would talk about connecting to God, and it's the language of the kingdom of God. When Jesus would talk about the kingdom of God, he would basically be talking about, this is the space where God has total reign and rule and authority. Or when he would talk about the kingdom of God, he would be saying, this is what it's like when you give, when you offer God total reign and rule and authority in your life. And Jesus, if you open up Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the biographies of his life, you're going to discover Jesus uses this phrase kingdom of God or kingdom of heaven like a million times, because he's always talking about, what does it look like to connect to God? What does it look like to become a citizen of God's kingdom? And I'm really excited about this series, in part because we get a chance to talk about that, and also in part because here at Crossbridge, our leadership team, you know, several of our key leaders around here, have also been talking about this question. And we're going to actually roll out, as a part of this series, four pathways, if that's the right word, by which we believe all of us can take a next step to connect to God. How we can, you know, to use the verbiage of the series, how we can launch or relaunch or launch again, however you want to think about that, your relationship with God. And today, as we do so, I actually want to take a look at a story Jesus told where he was talking to the religious leaders of his day, a group that we know as the Pharisees. And Jesus was being questioned by the Pharisees. This is in like the final week of his life, and the Pharisees are looking for a way to kind of trap him, to say something he's going to regret that they can, you know, catch and blast on CNN or some political blog later on, you know, and make fun of him, okay? And the Pharisees are trying to catch him, you know, in his words. And so they ask him this question about a guy named John the Baptist. And they basically say, hey, Jesus, do you think John is just a man? Or do you think John is from God? And Jesus gives this really snarky answer that, you know, was not what they were expecting. But then Jesus follows this up and he tells this parable. And in the parable, he actually defines in a little bit what it looks like for us to connect to God and what it looks like when we don't connect to God. And one of the things I think that's really interesting in the course of Jesus telling this parable, this story, is I think he reveals a lot of the stuff we assume that makes up a connection to God doesn't actually accomplish as much as we like to think it does. And likewise, Jesus actually, I think, opens up the pathway for us to see how do we start, how do we birth, how do we launch a connection with God. Here's what Jesus says. It's in the book of Matthew, chapter 21. Here's what Jesus says. He says, what do you think? There was a man who had two sons. He went to the first and said, son, go and work today in the vineyard. I will not, he answered, but later he changed his mind and went. Then the father went to the other son and said the same thing. He answered, I will, sir, but he did not go. Which of the two did what his father wanted? The first, the religious leaders answered. Jesus said to them, truly I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God ahead of you. Now, I just want us to stop and absorb the shock value of that statement, okay? If we marched out, you know, like a bunch of whoever you think of religious leaders, and we don't just have to use Christianity, any religion, you know, anyone you think a spiritual person, you know, march them all out and say, hey, just so you know, like prostitutes, you know, and like drug dealer, you know, like whoever you think of is like bad people in our culture. Like, that's what Jesus just said. Hey, those people are actually more connected to God than you are. Like, if I was a religious leader, I would kind of take a little offense to that, probably. You know, I don't know about that, Jesus. And then Jesus continues on. He says, for John the Baptist, this guy who's like the forerunner to Jesus, John came to show you the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes did. And even after he saw this, you did not repent and believe him. When Jesus tells this story to the Pharisees, here's the big idea of what Jesus is saying to these religious leaders. And I believe 2,000 years later to you and me. The pathway to connecting to God isn't what you and I think it is. The pathway to connecting to God isn't what you and I think it is. When we think about what does it look like to connect with God, we have a bunch of different images in our head. Maybe for some of us, some people or some faces pop into mind. Maybe for some of us, you think of a place, okay? You might think of the seat you're sitting in here at Crossbridge. You might think maybe some of you have gotten a chance to go to Europe or go toward the country, go somewhere where they have like those great, huge cathedrals. You know, they're kind of built in a way that you just walk in and you're like, whoa, you know, God is big. I am not. Yeah, like you think of that. Some of us, we think of maybe a religious experience we've had. And we all think of those as connections to God. And in some way, perhaps they are. But Jesus is actually saying the pathway to connecting to God isn't what we think it is, because I think we would all kind of think, well, surely the Pharisees, surely these religious leaders were connected to God, weren't they? Because the Pharisees actually do a lot of the same things we do when we try to connect to God. Jesus is showing us a few things. He says, launching a connection with God isn't about my knowledge. It isn't about my knowledge. Okay, the Pharisees, you could not outknow the Pharisees. Okay, these guys knew everything there was to know about faith. The Pharisees, many of them, kind of tradition tells us, memorized the entire Old Testament. Okay, so like that first, if you have a Bible, you know, like that first 1,000 pages or so, they had that committed to memory. Okay, I can't remember my grocery list, let alone, you know, the first 1,000 and like all the begats and all the offerings and all this kind of stuff. Okay, they committed that to memory. If not, they at least had the very first 5 books of the Bible committed to memory. Okay, like that, this is the entry point for becoming a religious leader in this culture. Okay, they knew it. Okay, they had memorized. Last week, we talked about, you know, giving and being generous. We talked about an argument they had. They would have arguments where they talk about stuff like, what herbs in my herb garden counted as offerings I had to give to God, and which ones didn't count as offerings I had. Like, could you imagine if you have like a little window garden at your office or something like that, and being like, my little petunia has to go to God, but this chrysanthemum doesn't, you know, or something like that. You're like, who does that, right? Like, who has the time to talk about this junk all the time, okay? Like, this is what the Pharisees did. They were extremely knowledgeable, okay? You could not... Like, if the entry point for becoming a follower of Jesus, if the entry point for connecting to God was the Pharisees, well, I'm screwed. Like, I don't have a hope, you know? Like, I'm never going to be able to achieve that. But Jesus says, despite all their knowledge, guess what? They weren't as connected to God as they thought they were they? Jesus says, launching a connection with God isn't about my religiosity. Okay, these guys weren't just, like, knowledgeable. They were very pious. Okay, they would wear the fancy special outfits. You know, they would have like the special headwear. Okay, they would have all these priestly vestments they would wear. They had these ceremonial washings they would do before they would eat. They had special prayers that they had to pray, all this kind of stuff. Like you could not look more religious than a Pharisee, right? Surely, if we were thinking of, hey, who is a person that is deeply connected to God, we would think, oh, well, probably Pharisees. But Jesus says, no, actually, they're not. Jesus shows us that launching a connection with God isn't about my reputation. If you're having a ribbon-cutting ceremony, the Pharisees are the people you'd want to invite to come to it. Right? These guys were the community leaders. These are the people that in the marketplace, as they would walk by, as they would wear their long flowing robes, you know, they're the people that, you know, like moms would kind of take their little 6-year-old kid, you know, at their knees and go, hey, one day maybe you could be like him. You know, like here's a community leader. Here's like a thing. This is like an aspirational thing for my kid to potentially become. That was a reputation of a Pharisee in the community. Jesus says, hey, I don't really care about your reputation. Like that doesn't make you right with God. You know, just because you're born to this, just because you have this heritage that seems very important to you, like that actually doesn't matter so much to me. Jesus says launching a connection with God isn't about my proximity. Pharisees were hanging out at the temple all the time. Right, the temple, we don't really understand this today, but like the temple was a major gathering point. Okay, this was like the Kleeman Plaza of the ancient world. Okay, like this, it's the spot. That's probably a bad example because like 4 people are there right now. But like this is, it would be one of the places where if you were going to do a gathering in the community, this is one of the spots that you would go to. Okay, it's college students. It's like going to Potts at 11 p.m. on a Thursday, okay, or something like that. Like, it's like that. This is a place where you would hang out. Like, this is civic gatherings would happen here, all this kind of stuff. And the Pharisees would always be there. You know, at any point, you could walk there and you could play a game of, are you smarter than the Pharisee? You know, and you could like try and stump them. You could ask them your little question that you had for them. They're always there. They're probably having their arguments about all the God stuff that we didn't really understand what they were talking about necessarily anyway. But that's how they were, right? They were always around God or the things we associate with God. And yet Jesus says, still not connected. Launching a connection with God, lastly, isn't about my behavior, right? You could not outbehave the Pharisees. The Pharisees, one of the defining hallmarks of their religious belief was Israel, you know, was under captivity. Several hundred years before this, they've been captured by the Babylonians and the Assyrians. Eventually, the Medes and the Persians would overtake them. The Greeks would eventually rule over them, and now the Romans ruled over them. And the Pharisees believed that the reason that they were under captivity, the reason that these heathen Romans were ruling over them, was because they had desecrated God's law. And so if the Pharisees, if the entire nation of Israel could be holy enough, could behave enough, could be righteous enough, then God would look on them in mercy. He would see their piety, their goodness. He would see their actions before him. And God would allow them to finally throw off this yoke of being oppressed by these foreign kingdoms. That's actually why the Pharisees, part of the reason why they would be so judgmental of sinners in that culture, is because when they looked at these sinners in their culture, what they saw were people who were adding to the corruption, which was kind of making their goal farther away. You know, like, hey guys, like, I'm trying to bail water out of the boat and you're putting more back in. Like, that's not really how we want this to work, okay? And so the Pharisees, like, they had a very religious reason to be holy and righteous and act the part, okay? The Pharisees also had just a very real, hey, we want to have autonomy as a people reason for them to be holy and act the part and all this stuff. And yet at the very end, Jesus says, guys, you aren't really connected to God at all. Tax collectors and prostitutes are making their way in ahead of you. Okay, these are the worst of the worst in our culture, and they are closer to God than you are. That had to be pretty much an affront. So that, I think, begs the question for us. So God, Jesus, how do we connect to God, right? If it's not my knowledge or religiosity or reputation or behavior or my proximity to you, okay? Like, how do we do that? Right, we ask that question, and we shouldn't make fun of the Pharisees because we do this all the time, don't we? Right? Like, I've had conversations with people before. They're like, well, yeah, my parents were like Presbyterian, so like I'm a Presbyterian, even though like I don't even know where a Presbyterian church is, but I assume I'm good. You know, it's like it's in your family line, you know, somewhere, like me and God are good, you know, like that's the hey, I go to church on Christmas and Easter just in case, you know, just to kind of let God still know I'm here. You know, like, can I keep that right? We do the proximity thing all the time. We think, oh no, something bad's happening in my life. And what am I going to do? Well, I'm going to sign up for 9 community groups. And I'm going to have my kid at like every youth event in the entire Florida, Georgia area. Like, they're just going to attend every one of them. Okay. We're always going to be there. I'm going to send 5 emails a day to my pastor, you know. I'm going to like have his number on speed dial. Please do not do that. Okay. Like, I'm going to do all these things, and that's how I'm going to get back to God. Right. Or how many of us have done this? This is totally me. I feel like I'm on the outs with God. I don't feel the warm and fuzzies. I don't feel all this stuff. So what am I going to do? I'm going to behave my way. I'm going to show God what a good person I am. God, I used to cuss, and now I'm only going to cuss a little bit. Until tomorrow, when I'll cuss normally again. You know, like, I'm only going to do that, right? God, I know that I had way too much to drink, but I promise I'm not going to drink a drop until I want to drink again. And then I'm going to do it. You know, like, we make these bargains with God about our behavior and all this stuff, right? So apparently we think there's something to the same thing the Pharisees thought there was something to. We just have different ways to show it, right? We just have different actions we slap on the attitude. Jesus hints at what it looks like to form a connection with God, what it looks like to launch a connection with God He hints at it at the end of this story in Matthew 21. Here's what he says. John the Baptist, came to show you the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him, but tax collectors and prostitutes did. Even after you saw this, so even after you saw their lives change, even after you saw them march in and decide to follow me, you did not repent and believe them. Repent and believe him, rather. Now, what do we think the keys are to a relationship with God? Hint, they're the highlighted words, right? Jesus says we should repent and believe. Okay, let's try that again. That wasn't very confident. I feel like I gave you a really good hint and you didn't take me. Okay, Jesus says we should repent and that's right. Okay, now this isn't a new message for Jesus. The Gospel of Mark is another biography of Jesus' life. And do you want to know the very first words Jesus says in the Gospel of Mark? They're here in Mark 1:15. The time has come. Okay, Jesus is like walking, cruising into the temple. He says, the time has come. The kingdom of God, your ability to connect to God, has come near. Oh, there's our words, right? Repent and believe the good news. Jesus would talk about this all the time. Now, what's interesting about repent and believe is, yeah, they have an external component to them, right? Like if your kid came to you and said, Mom, I repent of my evil ways, of my dirty dorm room, you know, whatever it is, but I just don't want to change anything. You would go, well, you're an idiot. You know, you haven't repented at all, right? You know, like you aren't very sorry, right? Repentance and belief, right? Those aren't things that just happen out here. They're things that happen in here, right? They're heart things, okay? Repentance, it's a 180. I'm going in a new direction. It's a change of mind, a change of heart, okay? Belief, we talked about this last week. It's this idea, not just of a system of religious, you know, tenets or behaviors, that kind of thing. Belief, faith, the way the Bible talks about, is actually a confidence that God will do what he has promised to do. And Jesus says, essentially, hey, repent and believe. What he's saying is, you want to connect to God. Well, it happens when you embrace a change of mind and a change of heart that in turn changes you. The big idea for how we connect to God is that launching a connection with God is about asking God to change my heart. That is so unimpressive, isn't it? Like, that is so like, oh my gosh, Wes, seriously, did you play Joust all week? You know, like, what? Like, this is like, what are you talking about? Right? Oh, change my heart. You know, we could sing a song and, you know, throw a stick in the fire and, you know, feel all good about ourselves and all that, right? Change my heart. What is this? You understand this principle in other areas of your life, okay? If you've ever changed something in your life, like made a real lasting change, you gave up a bad habit, you gave up something you just wanted to change, okay? You gave up smoking, you gave up, you know, you went on a diet and you lost weight, you got clean, you know, you got sober, you got right financially, whatever it is, you know, you made some sort of lasting change in your life, here's what happened. I guarantee you, you did not make that change by just focusing on the behavior, did you? Like, you just focused on, like, do not spend, do not spend, do not spend, right? Because what happens is eventually you run out of willpower, you get exhausted, and then what do? You just blow up the whole joint, right? You know, do not spend, do not spend. Macy's, yeah, here we go. All right, do not spend, you know, and like, and you get up again, and you try again, right? Because that's what focusing on our behavior does. It exhausts our willpower muscles. But something different happens when our heart changes, doesn't it? Because when my heart changes, all of a sudden, I become a little bit more integrated. And all integrity, all to be integrated means is I match. You know, the inside and the outside of me match. Nothing's out of place. Nothing, like, it all fits together. It all comes together. And when we change our heart, in turn, it allows our lives to change. It allows our behaviors to change. Right? The way you lose weight isn't usually by saying, well, I just need to diet and exercise every day. I'm going to get a walking desk. I'm going to, like, just do that at my workplace. I'm going to be the weird person. I'm going to park 9 miles away. I'm going to park in Thomasville and walk to work every day. You know, like, that's not how you do it, okay? How you do it is you look in the eyes of your kid, and one day you just have that moment where you realize, you know what? If I don't change something, like, I'm giving away 10 or 15 years with this sweet and precious kid. right? Because I'm going to die of a heart attack. I'm going to die of, you know, lung cancer, whatever, you know, whatever your thing is, right? That's how you change, right? You have a heart change. You have something that manages to get beyond your behavior and into your heart. And all of a sudden, it's not just some category out there. It's not just some behavior I should change. It's not just some bad habit I kind of like to ignore and act like it isn't there. Right? It's actually something that changes me. Right? This is why you get healthy financially, right? You get mad. You know, I always tell you guys, when you get healthy financially, it doesn't start with making the budget. It starts with you getting mad about it, right? It starts with you being like, man, I'm not giving money away to Visa or Sally Mae or whoever, right? I'm going to get mad about it, right? Because when I get mad about something, it gets to my heart, right? All of a sudden, I realize, like, there's a conviction. It's not just some behavior. It's a heart conviction that changes me. This is a picture up here of a guy named Carlos Whitaker. Carlos is a author and speaker, and that's his wife, Heather. And he's getting ready, I follow him on Instagram, and he's getting ready to come out with this new book in a little bit called Kill the Spider, and it's all about, like, killing off bad stuff that kills us, you know, kind of thing in your life. And in the book, he tells a story about how their marriage was really bad. They had a couple kids at home. He was gone all the time. He had some addictions and stuff that he was not getting help with. And he talks about how he walked into this house one day, and on the table was a little note card from his wife, and the note card simply said, "It's over. I'm done. I took the girls, and we left." And you want to know what happened in that moment? Is all of a sudden, it wasn't about, yeah, I should probably, you know, spend more time with my wife and kids. And it wasn't like, yeah, I should probably get some medication for the, you know, bipolar thing that's hurting me, you know, oh yeah, I probably should not drink as much or whatever it was. You know. What happened is immediately all these changes he talked about making on the outside, now they found their way inside. And when the inside changes, it's only a matter of time before the outside follows. The way that we see lasting change isn't by focusing on what's out here. The way we see lasting change is by focusing on what's in here. Now, the reason I talk about this is because when we think about Christian faith, when we think about how we connect to God, we focus on the out here a lot. We focus on the stuff we can measure. We focus on, hey, how much did I read my Bible? How much did I pray? How many, you know, people am I in community group with? How much money did I give? How many hours do I serve? You know, like we, whatever your metric is you want to use, we focus on the out here stuff. And that's good. I think there's value in that, okay? But here's the problem is, I don't know about you, I've met a lot of people who have the out here stuff really, really good and are terrible Christians, right? When I think about what it looks like to have a connection with God, they might be actually the polar opposite of what I think about when that, right? Because what happens when we focus on the out here without the in here is one of two things. We either get tired, we get exhausted, and we quit. Or, like the Pharisees, we become a hollow shell. Right? We become all icing and no cake. We become just this fake exterior. Jesus had a phrase he would use to talk about the Pharisees, which I would hope he wouldn't use to talk about any of us. He says, "You're a whitewashed tomb." Right, and the image is, hey, on the outside, oh, great, that looks really nice, but you don't want to crack open the inside because ain't nobody got time for that. Like, that is not good. And when we focus on what's out here and we don't allow Jesus to do work in here, what happens is we become just like that. We become this hollow exterior that actually is not even close to connected with the heart of the Creator who made us. Jesus' desire to change your heart and my heart isn't one that necessarily comes from the outside in, though those behaviors are great and important. I believe Jesus invites us to ask him to change us from the inside out. That's how Jesus is able to look a prostitute and the tax collector in the eye and say, hey, these people are way more connected to God than you are. Right? It wasn't because of the exterior stuff. It was because Jesus had this nasty thing he could do where he could see someone's heart. And he could see, you know what, the outside may not be there yet, but I can see what's happening on the inside, and I like what I see. I can see the turn. I can see the change. I can see what's happening. how does Jesus want to change our hearts? Like, what does he want them to be about? Well, he tells us in the next chapter of Matthew. Jesus is teaching, again, talking to religious leaders. It's probably a verse many of us have heard before. He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. The second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Jesus says, how does God, like, what is the end result of God changing your heart? What does he want to see happen? Well, simply put, God's goal is for our hearts to love him and express that love for him in the way that we love and care for other people. So as we kind of wrap this up, I told you at the beginning, we identified as a leadership team, as leadership here at Crossbridge, four pathways that we connect to God. Okay, when we take a next step in any one of these areas, I believe that means we're also going to take a next step closer to connecting with God. Now, the reason I reveal these at the end instead of the beginning is because if I take a next step in any of these areas, I'm actually focused on just the action and not actually seeing the action express a change in my heart. I become like a Pharisee. I actually accomplish the opposite of what it is I'm trying to do. Connecting to God will always result in something about my heart being shaped and changed. And out of that, my life, my behavior, my actions being changed. Okay, so what are these four pathways? Well, good news. They all start with C. We call them the four C's. If you forget what letter, you're like, it's the four X's? What is it? You know, just remember, Crossbridge Christian Church, okay? Like, we love C's here, okay? And if you forget that, I can't really help you, okay? You're done. You're a lost cause. So anyway, four C's. Here they are, okay? Number one, having a connection to God starts with cultivating a personal relationship with Jesus. I engage in behaviors and actions that help me connect my heart with his heart. They draw me closer personally to him. So, hey, I open up his word, and I read about who Jesus says I am, who God says I am. I read about, man, what is God's heart all about, and how can my heart be all about that? When we pray, we connect relationally with God, right? Like, that's part of our hearts connecting to his. Another pathway we connect to God, right? We connect in relationships where truth meets life. God hasn't made you to be an island on your own. God's created you to connect with and engage with other people. God desires for you to have relationships that support and encourage you, but also hold you accountable. They also challenge you. They also push you, right? We should have relationships that are like a really good personal trainer, right? They encourage you that you can do it, and they tell you, you suck until you, like, yeah, keep going. Yeah, gotta do it. Yeah. Third thing, God wants us to contribute by serving. Right? God wants us to experience our hearts being shaped and changed around opportunities and places where we can serve. Right? Not just to tick off a box, not just to say, well, got my serving quotient in, yeah. But that our hearts actually be shaped and changed to represent the Savior who said, I didn't come to be served, I came to serve. Right? That our hearts would be shaped and changed, and that when we look at problems, when we look at stuff in our world, that our hearts change, that we don't see a problem, we see an opportunity to serve. And we actually ask the question, not, how can I get away from that, right? We ask, how can I help? How can I lean in? How can I engage, right? And lastly, what does it look like to connect with God? Well, it shouldn't surprise us that the God who said, I've come to seek and save the lost, the God who says, hey, there's more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous who do not need to repent. The one who said, I came for the sick, not for the healthy, right? The one who said, I came for tax collectors and sinners, not the righteous. That caring about people disconnected from God is part of the way that God wants to shape and change our heart. Right? That we would look at the lost or the broken or the hurting world that God loves and cares about enough to send his son to die for us. And that we would be moved not just to go, you know, oh man, those sinners over there, you know, like the Pharisees, but that we would be moved to say, no, man, God, how can I engage people who are disconnected from you with your love, with your grace, with your mercy? They might experience and know you. these are the four pathways we connect to, we launch a relationship with God. Over the next 4 weeks, I want to dive into each of these more in depth. Okay, I want to talk about these because I think there are a lot of really important ramifications for our lives. But don't miss this. Right? These things only have power. They only have an effect as we allow them not just to shape and change our actions and behaviors, but as we actually ask God and invite Jesus to change our hearts. As we allow God to shape and change not just what we do, but who we are, that we might look more like him. Let me pray for us to experience and know that. Father in heaven, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, for God, for how you've made very plain a way for us to connect to you. God, I pray that in our lives, as we oftentimes struggle to connect to you, as we oftentimes struggle to feel like, God, we're close to you. God, maybe it's just because we feel like the actions of our lives are somehow getting in the way. Sometimes it might be because we feel like, God, we just don't have the warm and fuzzies about our relationship with you. God, we just invite you right now to change our hearts. God, to get inside of us and mess us up. You know, to help us think differently about you, about our relationship with you. God, we invite you to shape the image of Jesus into us. God, we pray this in his name.